coming up on the Joyful Learning Pod.
If it wasn't for that middle school English teacher believing in me and, mm-hmm. and being encouraging the way that he was, thank you, Mr. Douglas, I don't know that I would have had the confidence to do what I did.
Welcome to our episode today, and I am very excited to be talking to author Matt McMahon. He is gracious enough to take some time and tell us a little bit about some upcoming fun things in his life. So, Matt, why don't you start with giving us a little information about who you are, and then tell us about your new series you have coming out in May.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Melissa. It's great to be here. My name is Matt McMahon. I have an amazing wife, New York Times bestselling author Lisa McMahon. Our daughter Kennedy McMahon is an actor who plays Nancy Drew on the CW show. And our son is Killian McMahon, a professional illustrator and graphic designer. So we're a quirky, artsy family. And I was a musician.
Wow.
Yes. I was a musician for 26 years before I transitioned into the writing game. And yeah, my debut books are coming out on May 9. It's a spooky middle grade monster mystery series called Monsterious, coming out with Penguin Random House. The first two books come out on May 9th. And then there's going to be a third book that comes out August 22 and a fourth book that comes out in January. They are spooky monster mysteries. They're short. You can read them in any order. They publish in hardcover, paperback, and audio all simultaneously. They are great for fans of Goosebumps, Stranger Things, Five Nights at Freddy's. They're targeted for ages 8 to 12, but they're great for anybody that loves a spooky monster mystery. The first book is called Escape from Grimstone Manor. And that's about three friends who are trapped overnight in a haunted house amusement park ride and discover the monsters are real. The second book, which also comes out May 9, is called The Snatcher of Raven Hollow. And that's about two friends who learn that a monster is behind the disappearance of babies in their small town, but no one believes them. And then Terror in Shadow Canyon comes out in August. And that's about five hikers who are lost in a remote wilderness and are stalked by a flesh-eating monster. And then book four in the series comes out in January of 2024. And that is called The Beast of Skull Rock, about a brother and sister who try to save their grandfather's spooky museum from a rampaging were-hyena. So that's a little bit about me and the series.
Wow. Wow. That, well, and I, as I mentioned previously in this episode, I have had the pleasure of reading the first book. And I cannot wait until May 9th because I'm really excited to read the second book. So that's pretty exciting for readers because sometimes when you begin a series, when it is being published, it's really, really frustrating to have to wait.
Yes.
Between the first and the next one. So that's exciting that you have the first two coming out on the same day.
Yeah, excellent. I think so too.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your journey to becoming a writer and getting to this point, because you've had a long career doing other things. So I'm really interested to hear how you got from what you've been doing for a long time to now.
Well, it started in seventh grade when we had a creative writing contest. So everybody in the seventh grade had to write a short story. So I wrote a short story for that and I won. And then in eighth grade, we did that contest again. And I won again. And my English teacher at the time read the first part of my story to the class and said, if it had continued at the quality of this intro, which it did not, I would have suggested that it be published. And that just stuck in my head. And I thought at that moment, sitting there at my desk in eighth grade, I think I want to be an author. Wow. But then in high school, I got into music. And I decided to study music in college. I got my degree in vocal performance. And then I had a long 26-year career as a professional musician. But at the end of that, about 5 years ago, I was getting really burned out on performing. And my wife, Lisa, said, hey, why don't you go back to that childhood dream you had of writing novels? And I thought, oh, that sounds really good, but I'm a perpetual over planner. So I overanalyze and overthink things, and I struggle with like, just go start, do something. And so she got frustrated with me. So we went away for a weekend at a hotel, kind of a getaway. And she said, okay, listen, we're not going home until you write the first chapter of your book.
She was holding you hostage.
She totally held me hostage. But it was exactly what I needed to get out of my head and just start. And so I started completely pantsing my first novel, not really knowing where it was going.
Okay, I'm going to pause you for 1 second, because in case any of our listeners are not familiar with the phrase pantsing, give us a little like background about that.
So the question typically that writers get a lot is, are you a pantser or are you a plotter? And a pantser means, do you write by the seat of your pants, like you just write without a plan and just see what comes? Or are you a plotter, which means you plot things out. You write an outline and plan things in advance.
Got it.
So that's what I was referring to when I was pantsing that first novel. So a couple of months later, I was still working on this novel, a middle grade kind of fantasy adventure. And Lisa said, okay, listen, we're going on a trip. We're going through LA. We're going to meet up with my agent, Michael. At some point over dinner, Michael's going to turn to you and say, so Matt, what are you doing these days? And you're going to say, I'm writing a middle grade novel. And he's going to ask you what it's about. And you're going to have an answer ready.
No pressure.
So I said, yes, ma'am. So I worked really hard on crafting this like tight 2-sentence pitch of my story. And sure enough, over dinner, Michael turns to me and says, so Matt, what are you working on these days? And I said, I'm writing a middle grade novel. And he rolled his eyes. And he's like, oh, you and everybody else. Oh. Okay, go ahead. And I'm like, no, you don't have to hear this. And he's like, no, it's okay. I hear it all day long. Come on, pitch me your book. So I gave him my memorized pitch. And he said, that sounds kind of interesting. All right, send me the manuscript.
Wow.
So I send him the manuscript. He reads it. He calls me and says, okay, listen, I think this has potential, but it needs a lot of work. If you're willing to do the work, I'm willing to read it again. So I said, oh my gosh, of course. Yeah. And he very graciously gave me a lot of editorial notes on it. I wrote all that stuff down. I changed everything that he said to change, sent it back to him. He read it again, called me, offered me representation.
That's awesome.
So then he helped me get into shape. He took it on an exclusive submission to an editor at Simon & Schuster, which means going to just one specific editor and giving them kind of like a first crack at a novel before they send it out to a bunch of editors. And same thing happened. She read it. She got back to us and said, hey, you know what? This has potential, but it needs a lot of work. If Matt's willing to do the work, I'm willing to read it again. So I said, absolutely. So she gave me editorial notes. I did everything she said, sent it back. She said, this is good. I'm going to take it to the team. So at this point, I'm freaking out because I thought my first novel was going to be a throwaway practice novel. And it not only got me an agent, it's going to get me a book deal on my very first submission.
Which is very rare from authors I have spoken to. That is like a 1 in a million chance, right?
100%. And it was, and it proved itself because it did not happen. She got back to me and said, you know what? The team wasn't excited about it. We're going to pass.
Oh.
So then my agent sent it out wide, which means send it out to a bunch of editors, like 12, I think, in the first wave. They all rejected it. He sent it out on a second wave to another bunch of editors. They all rejected it. Sent out a third wave. They all rejected it. It was out on submission for over a year, never sold. So, but I was following advice at that time that Lisa gave me, which was always be working on your next thing. So I work during that time while book one was out on submission, I wrote a second book. And my agent read that one and he went, this one's better. Let's stop sending out book one and let's send out book two. So we sent out book two. all rejections. Everybody rejected it. While book two was out on submission, I wrote book three. Agent reads that one. And he's like, the second half's the best thing you've ever written. The first half needs a lot of work. But while he was reading book three, Lisa was read an article out loud to me one night, and she mispronounced the word mysterious and said monsterious instead. And I said, oh, that sounds like a great middle grade book title. And she said, no, it's a whole series and you should write it. So I thought, huh, monsterious, monsters, mysteries. I love those things. I'm going to take a crack at writing a spooky middle grade monster mystery series called Monsterious. So I decided to try an anthology style series, which means the books are all standalones, connected by a theme, but have a unique cast of characters so you can read the books in any order. And knowing that that was the vision I had for the series as a whole, I didn't want to pitch just an individual book idea. I wanted to pitch the vision for the series. So I created a whole pitch package, which was one full manuscript, two complete outlines for additional books, and then five other ideas, one paragraph each for other potential books in the series. And I packaged all that up and I sent it to my agent and he went, I love this. This is the one. Let's pause going out with book two. Let's skip book three altogether. Let's go out with this. He went out with Monsterious in an exclusive submission to an editor at Penguin Random House, and it sold immediately in a 4-book deal.
Wow. Congratulations. That's an awesome story.
Thank you.
So many moving parts, but I still, like, it goes back to being a 7th and 8th grader, having that opportunity to be in that contest and then having the experience of having your writing validated. Like, that's just such a great message for people listening, that our kids need those opportunities and we need to encourage them, because who knows what it's going to start, even if it takes.
100%.
You know?
If it wasn't for that middle school English teacher believing in me and, mm-hmm. and being encouraging the way that he was, thank you, Mr. Douglas. I don't know that I would have had the confidence to do what I did.
Yeah, that's awesome. Is Mr. Douglas still alive? Do you know?
He is. He messages me on Facebook. He's very proud of me.
That is fabulous. Well, I'm so happy, because as an educator, it is the best when you connect with your students years later and you kind of refresh what you guys meant to each other back in the day. So that's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that. So you have an upcoming book tour I've been seeing on social media, and you are lucky enough to be able to do this amazing thing with your wife. You mentioned Lisa McMahon, and she was actually with us for an episode earlier in season 1 of our podcast. And I was so grateful to have a chance to connect. And that's where you and I originally met as well. But tell us a little bit about, what are you most excited about on this upcoming book tour that you have planned?
Honestly, what I'm most excited about is getting in front of kids and being able to talk with them directly about not only Monsterious, but just about reading and about writing and sharing my passion for these stories and helping to stimulate their own creativity. Because the traditional publishing industry especially is such a long game. It's such a slow process that, you know, I started writing 5 years ago trying to break in, and then it took me 3 years to get my first publishing deal. But I signed on the Monsterious contract 2 years ago. So it's taken 2 years from getting the deal for these books to actually be on the shelf. So it's just been such a long, impatient wait for me to finally know that these books are going to be able to be in kids' hands and help kids the way that I want these books to hopefully help kids. Because I was a scared kid. I was afraid of almost everything. I was afraid of the dark. I was afraid of bullies and the woods and my parents' basement. But I loved spooky stories. And for some reason, when I would read these spooky stories, seeing the characters in these books have the courage to face their fears somehow gave me the courage to face my own. So when I decided to write, you know, turn to novel writing as an adult and thought about what kind of books do I want to write, that's what motivated me. I want to go back and I want to write those same kind of spooky monster mystery books that I loved as a kid. So hopefully to give readers today not only that same joy and fun that those books can provide, but also hopefully to have help those kids that need it to find their courage as well. So that's what I'm most excited about.
That's awesome. And I do think that you are going to really, really resonate with the readers. And I'm so excited that they get to meet you and you get to spend some time in front of kids, like you said, because there's just nothing better. And as librarians and educators, that's one of the best things about our jobs is being able to connect with amazing authors like you and Lisa and bringing them to our kids for book parties. And for the listeners who want to listen to what book parties are, listen to Lisa's episode.
That's right.
So last thing I want to ask you is, what is something that is bringing you joy in your life right now? And it might be something you've already kind of touched on, but that's something I ask all my amazing guests.
No, that's a fantastic question. And there's a lot of things that are bringing me joy in my life right now. But honestly, the thing that I can't get out of my head that is the most joy bringing right now is the fact that I get to go out finally after all this time, after all this work, after all this waiting, and really finally get to meet kids and hang out with kids and interact with them and do bookstore events where kids can come in and they are excited about reading. I want to get kids excited about reading because I know how much it changed my life and how it helped me and continues to help me and shape me as the person that I am today. And that's what's bringing me joy, the thought of being able to get out there and help kids fall in love with reading.
That's awesome. So to wrap up, where can people find you on social media? And is there a place where they can see where you're going to be traveling in case they are somewhere close and might be able to come see you in person?
Yeah, the best place to go is my website, which is my name, mattmcmann.com. MattMcMann.com. And it's newly refurbished. I just had a great designer refurbish the whole thing. And it's so fun. It's great for kids. It's great for educators. And on there, you can find my tour page and my appearances. And it lists out everywhere I'm going to be and all the details. There's even a fun, you can download for free, a spooky short story that I wrote. So you can download that for free and share that with your kids. And then I'm also on Instagram and Twitter at Matt_McMahon.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for taking time to spend with us and sharing about your really amazing journey. And I am so excited and I hope you have so much fun on your tour.
Thank you so much, Melissa. It was great chatting with you.
You too. I hope you enjoyed the episode with Matt and hearing his journey of being an author and how it's not always easy, but it is always rewarding. And the timing of this conversation is extra special because the day that this episode goes live is the actual book birthday for Matt's first two books in the series. So if you have not already pre-ordered or gone out and purchased them, I highly recommend getting your hands on the copies because you will not be disappointed. And just want to share that coming up in our June episode, we will wrap up season two and we will be taking the summer months of July and August off to create new episodes that will come back to you in the fall. And in June, we're going to talk about the joy of summer. And I am working on putting together a list of books to read over the summer and different activities that I am looking forward to and just ways that as an educator, I try to refill my energy and get ready for a brand new year in September.